We're over halfway, so.
That's what she said.
And it's only been 2.5 hours.
And this episode goes out tomorrow morning. 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, we're going to be good. Okay.
We know how to moderate our time.
I have great time management skills, which I choose not to use here.
Form of the human centipede. For time management? I don't...
I wish I could shape shift, because when my boss asked for something to happen, I would be like, I'm on it, sir. Form of a human centipede. And they'd be like, what the hell?
Don't worry about it, sir. I'm taking care of it right now. Form of a sloth.
Be like, form of a I could still do it. I could still be like, I'm on it, sir. Form of a human centipede. And then get all fours and look at him and be like, come on, what are you waiting on?
I just need you to drive a forklift.
We've come from afar, bringing tales from before. Old dragons drink bourbon, but we three drink more.
Welcome back to Dragons Drink Bourbon. I'm Ella.
I'm Miles.
I'm Cletus.
And we are here today.
Night.
This evening.
Good evening.
Well, I release the episodes at 5 a.m.
So. I release at 5 a.m. too.
Okay.
I've seen the videos. Very, very supportive group. Why is my microphone so far away? Shit.
Because you're stupid.
That's why.
Great.
Now I made up for it. Who's a stupid now? Not me.
The person who said a stupid?
That was the joke.
I explained it so it would be now funnier. It's funnier. Well, you guys didn't think we forgot about St. Patty's Day, did you?
Yes.
Of course we didn't. So the guys shall tell you all about our theme drink today.
St. Patty's Day.
Well, the day after.
The day after drink. That's what it's called. The day after St. Patty's Day. It's raw eggs, turmeric, and milk. 2%. 2% almond milk. And a quarter stick of butter.
Good year.
People can't sue us if they try to drink that, right?
No, it shouldn't kill them.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So
that's reality. Is that our drink? We've already did that, so yep. It's not themed then.
It's Irish whiskey for an Irish episode.
It's two gingers again.
It's the laziest drink in the
You want a description? See the previous episode where we had two gingers.
So two episodes ago, we had an Irish whiskey called Two Gingers, and we're drinking that again today for an Irish episode on account of it works. I also had a pickleback shot because I enjoy pickles.
Disgusting.
Miles did not enjoy it.
Nope.
And Cletus does not allow his whiskey to be sullied with pickle.
But I do love dills.
Good choice.
I do love a good dill.
I thought you were going to say dick. And
no, I mean, as long as it's dill, that's fine.
Dill just dicks. The most genuine coming out line.
Right. As long as you dip it in dill first, I'll take it.
So we didn't go ham on a bunch of stories in history like last year. Sorry if that's what you wanted.
This year we're going bacon. That's with right. No stories, free form.
Kill beef. Go ham.
But if you wanted more, you can check out episodes 13 through 15 if you haven't already. Those stories included a cool giant and leprechauns and a pretty lady who couldn't be bothered to do shit for herself but had plenty of magical assistants.
I remember that. So like
classic princess vibes. We also included the renamed Dublin Drop.
Dublin Drop.
That was in our Leprechauns episode, which is 14. That was Guinness with a layered shot of coffee liqueur, Irish cream, and Irish whiskey, which we renamed for reasons.
That we can't remember.
No, I remember. It's because the original name that Americans call it would get your ass beat in Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
The Dirty Mick. Hey, barkeep, could you give me a Dirty Mick? The lady will have a Shirley Temple. Yes, hey, let me get a Dirty Mick, hey? A Shirley Temple for the lady. Hey, boy, what are you doing in here?
We don't like your kind in here, see? You don't belong, see? Oh, my goodness. Heritage, not hatred, see?
No. It's because he's a child. He's too young to be in here.
Right, right. That's what I meant. What did you mean? See?
Nah.
All right. So, when I quick reviewed my previous notes, I found this at the top of episode 13. Quote, I am writing these notes 3 hours before we record. Godspeed, Ella. Unquote. Today, I did this in less than 5 hours. I've grown.
Level up.
Yep. But since we could all use something a little lighter than the tragedy of the last two episodes, here's a magic tale I found classified under heroes and giants.
And there's only a little bit of genocide.
So without further ado, let me tell you all about the Black Thief and the Knight of the Glen.
The Black Thief. Do you hear this?
What's that supposed to mean? The Black
Thief and the Neverwinter Nights.
Well, you think you know a girl.
Yes, hey?
See? We don't do that around here, see?
Letting what was it?
Kids in the bars.
The Black Knight and the Great White Gibbon?
And Knight of the Glen.
Oh.
Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that's what he said. That's what he said.
The Black Thief and the Great White Gibbon.
The Black Gibbon Thief and the Great White Knight.
We got it right.
I feel like people would have more issue with that one. In times of yore, there lived a king and queen.
My what?
Right.
The times don't of my what? Hanging.
Yeah.
The hell's that supposed to mean?
Why?
I guess we'll have to wait and find out since she won't tell us.
Y-O-R-E, your.
What's that mean for our stupid-ass listeners?
It's old.
Love you. Also, why didn't times she just say past. That? In times yeah, of old, times why didn't you just old. Say that?
In times
some people
of the
don't
elder.
Know these literary terms you use. These are SAT words.
Right.
And our...
It's four letters.
Our viewers... Right. Because they keep looking at their radios like a bunch of morons.
And they do.
Their brains are down here.
Some of them are illiterate. They told me.
They told me.
Yeah.
And I don't even talk to any
and
of them.
And those emails that can't type.
And those emails that they speak to text.
In times of yore.
Old. That means old that means to the old. Lamer.
There lived a king and queen in the south of Ireland who had 3 sons. Of the beautiful variety. Oh. You know the drill.
Sons are beautiful.
Yeah, not
anybody
handsome.
Showing up as a main character in any fairy tale, folktale ever is
they
beautiful.
Were man beautiful.
That's fairy. That's,
not handsome.
That's yeah. True, I guess. I mean, it was times of yore.
Yeah.
That's true.
Standard. But before we get too comfortable, the queen caught a deadly illness. Like the common cold or something. While the princes were still quite young.
Hang no.
Hanging from my cuticle.
The entire court was distraught, but no one more than the king, who loved her dearly. As death drew near, the queen called for the king and made her final request.
King! Do-do-do-do-do. Bring, bring. Bring, bring. Oh, king! Bring. You better answer that phone. Beep. I'm sorry, you've reached the king. I can't come to the phone right now. But if you leave your name and your number, I will not call you back because I'm a king. Fuck you. Beep.
And the queen's final request was, well, I'm about ready to leave you. And you're still in your prime, so I already know you'll marry again. All I ask of you is this. After I die, build a tower on an island out at sea. Keep our sons there until they come of age and can take care of themselves, so that they may never fall under the power of another woman.
So this story is about a lighthouse?
Make sure you educate them and rear them as proper princes with all the training necessary for royalty.
It's about a lighthouse. That's what Spoiler alert.
That's all I have to say. Farewell. And while her husband's eyes filled with tears, she turned over, smiled, and gave up the ghost.
That means she tooted that thing up, gave up that ass one last time.
Yep.
The king didn't even have time to assure her that he would fulfill her dying request. She just
died. You gotta get in there when you can.
The queen received a magnificent funeral, no expense spared.
We spared no expense.
The king was inconsolable, but, you know, did as she asked, tower and all. Mm. In fact, the entire kingdom mourned as never before, for there could be no better woman than the late queen in the whole wide world.
Dead ass bitch.
So, the lords and knights set the king up with a rich and beautiful princess from a neighboring kingdom. The king was pretty fond of her, so that was nice and easy.
Fondled her.
Mm.
It wasn't long until the new queen had a healthy baby boy.
That had no legs and four arms.
And goat feet.
Because he was hooves. Because he was Irish. He was just like born of a drunkard. He was born of a drunkard.
And a goat.
And a goat.
The king and queen.
He's supposed to say wah. Bah. I'll take it. I spared no expense.
There was an actual healthy baby boy with four normal limbs.
I thought you were about to say four normal legs.
Four normal hooves.
The court rejoiced.
I'm just a normal healthy baby.
A feast was enjoyed by all, unless you were poor and then you weren't invited.
Or a goat.
And everyone pretty much forgot about the best queen ever that could never be replaced.
Or forgotten.
One day, the queen had business with the henwife.
The dead one?
Right. No, the new one. Oh. The live one. Okay. Everyone I'm forgot bad, her. Bitches. Literally, this tale had one paragraph that was like, oh my God, no one can get over it. She was the best queen ever. Everybody loved her. And then the next paragraph, they were like, they set him up with the new bitch. Everyone forgot she existed. I was like, we literally just said.
But couldn't no one forget her? We forgot that bitch.
You remember my first wife? Who?
You were married before?
I don't remember her name either.
One day, the live queen had business with the henwife. Do you guys remember henwives?
It was in our previous episode.
Oh, that's entitled.
Oh, that's a turkey.
That's right. You remember that episode entitled.
I was like, what does a chicken do?
It was episode 5. It was like Irish Cinderella or something.
That's right. That's what I said.
There are dual meanings to henwife, because I'm sure you guys don't remember.
That's
literal meaning.
I'm offended.
Just chopping at our nuts.
Right.
Is a woman in charge of domesticated poultry.
We knew.
And that's what this one was.
Yep.
The significant folklore meaning is more akin to a wise old woman and often a magical one, like an herbalist or a healer.
Who also takes care of chickens.
Think a good witch or something closer to a fairy godmother.
Because as I was about to say, all witches have chickens. Where do you think they get blood? Yeah, where are yours? Oh, we ate them.
Uh-huh.
We ate them. She fed them to us earlier. They were fried.
Yeah. Ah, that's right. Ultimate sacrifice. She can conjure up some more. That's why. She's a witch, for those of you listening at home.
It's been a while since you reminded me.
And for those of you watching at home, I'm pretty sure you can see.
Yeah.
She's a witch. She's got resting witch face right now.
Love ya.
Okay. Anyway, the queen consulted with the henwife for a while, and after some time passed, made to take her leave. But the henwife casually threatened her on her way out, praying that if the queen should ever return, the henwife might break her neck.
All right. Pleasure talking to you. All right. Take care now. Oh, girl. Mm-hmm. If you ever come back this way, I'll kill you. Mm-hmm. Snap that little neck of yours. All right. Be now, safe now.
Now go tend to your chickens.
Mm-hmm. And your king.
The queen didn't love this, as you might imagine.
What?
She whipped around, furious at this great insult from one of her lowest subjects. She demanded a reason for the threat, and if it wasn't good enough, the henwife would be promptly executed.
Because you a bitch, and I hate you, she said.
The henwife didn't really explain it much better than that, actually. She said that the queen should actually pay her, and well, because the reason she did it concerned the queen herself. Mm. And that's it.
Oh. Well, that's a generic, lame-ass explanation.
The queen bought this.
Oh.
Yeah.
She spared no expense.
And asked how much payment the henwife required.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
Okay.
Well, she's new to money. She's the new queen, right? She's like, oh, yeah, sure. What? How much?
New to queendom.
She's new to
money. So I just give in to everything? Okay. Yeah. You should pay me. Okay.
We're going to have one wealthy listener who's like, yeah, this is how new money behaves.
Queen, you're supposed to give us servants the day off. Oh, am I? 1,000 pardons. I didn't know.
So the henwife explained that she must be paid in a full pack of wool, an ancient crock filled with...
A full pack of wolves.
Wool. An ancient crock filled with butter, and a full barrel of wheat.
So she wants a full pack of wolves.
Wool.
Somebody's cock full of butter.
Sure.
And something about some wheat?
Yep.
She's trying to make wheat thins.
That's how you do it right there.
The queen asked...
She's on to something.
She's a witch.
She's on to something.
She's a witch.
When the queen asked for more specific measurements, the henwife specified that it would take 7 herds of sheep to fill 1 pack of wool over the course of 7 years.
Wolves in sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from.
Yep.
Don't quote that.
Can you give me a better measurement? Yeah, I need 1 grocery cart of wool. No, like an actual measurement.
Like an actual measurement.
No, yeah, it's equivalent to about 37 stones.
Yeah, but a grocery cart. Why don't you understand?
It would also take 7 dairies to fill the crock with butter, plus the increase over the next 7 years.
Ooh.
And it would take 7 barrels of wheat for 7 years to fill up the henwife's single barrel. The queen declared that these were massive quantities, but if the henwife was asking, the reason must be extraordinary. So she would give her everything she demanded. And that's when the henwife called the queen stupid.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yo, dumbass bitch.
Which brings us scripts.
Who do you want to be?
Let me be the sassy ass henwife.
Okay.
Is it because you're so stupid
that you could you please start over, sir?
Excuse me, I had to sneeze while I was insulting you. It's dusty in the times that we live in right now, because this is current, present day. Because
this is, what'd you call it? Times of yore.
This is times of yore. It's dusty in times of yore. Y'all don't understand in the future that will probably happen one day. I don't know. I'm just speaking out loud. But anyway, queen.
Because that's how you speak.
That's how I speak. Is it because you're so stupid that you don't observe or find out those affairs that are dangerous and hurtful to yourself and that dumbass little baby of yours?
Oh, say what now?
Girl, your husband, okay? He has 3 sons already by his late queen. Oh, what's her face? Who we can't even remember, even though she was the dopest queen ever. And they're all locked up for safekeeping. Listen, when them boys come of age, this kingdom is going to be divided between not one, not two, but all 3 of them. If you don't destroy them, you and that little baby you got right there, y'all going to be left desolate. Poor and broke as hell till the very end. Maybe.
Well, shit. What should I do?
Girl, I ain't no fortune teller, but I guess I'll tell you what I would do. I would tell that king that you've heard of his sons. He ain't hiding shit from you, okay? You got eyes and ears all over this kingdom. He ain't slick. You can't imagine why he would have kept that secret from you. Because you number one. You his main bitch. And he keeping secrets, girl? Secrets? Uh-uh. Tell him you wish to meet them. Not one, not two, but all 3 of them. And it's high time that they were freed from wherever the fuck he is hiding them. I don't know why she put that in the script. They belong in the court. This king that you married, let me tell you, he will do what you ask if he loves you. And he will host a great party for that occasion. And I'm talking a feast, girl. Make sure I'm invited because I love a good feast. And there's going to be some games. I'll bring Monopoly. I'm still working on it. It's like a prototype. It's going to be a whole thing. We don't really have a structured economy right now, so it's a little bit difficult living in days of yore. I'll work on it, though. It'll be popular. I believe in myself. All right, now pay attention and listen closely, you daft, royal inbred woman. It's the game that concerns you next. It should always be about the game. You would challenge the princes to a game of cards. Make a bet. The loser has to do whatever the winner commands. I used to play this game back in the day, but I'm not going to... That's between us, girl. But I'll catch up with you later for that. Make sure that everybody hears this bargain, okay? And then you will use this pack of cards. They will assure your victory. And you will split it with me. Don't play. I know where to find you, queen.
Oh, well. Thank you. How am I supposed to... Should I have written that down?
You dumb bitch.
Somebody fetch me a quill. Hey, you. Henwife, could you please go get me a quill?
Girl, I work with hens. I don't work with pens. I mean quills. I imagine that's what they'd be called one day. Just a name I'm kicking about.
I'm magic, bitch.
I ain't no time traveler. I don't know what they're going to have in the future or whatever.
So... The queen returned to the palace. She was pretty nervous about confronting her husband, but she managed to do so politely. She seemed genuine, so the king wasn't the least bit suspicious of her aim. He sent for his sons, who were only too happy to leave the confinement of their tower and join the court. And given how handsome and talented the 3 were, the lords and knights of the court adored all 3 young men immediately. But that only made the queen jealous. The feast seemed to go on forever. Hadn't everyone had enough rejoicing already? And finally, the royal assembly moved on to games and sport. The queen challenged the princes to cards, making the bargain exactly as she had been instructed. Using the henwife's pack of cards, she beat the eldest and the second son easily.
Damn!
However, she lost to the youngest, who was by far the most handsome and beloved of the brothers.
She had one job.
all looked to the queen to hear what she would command of the two losers. Now, it isn't clear if the next part came from the henwife or the queen's own design. The queen ordered the two older brothers to go out and bring her the Knight of the Glen's wild steed of bells. Should they fail, they would lose their heads, which they needed to live, presumably.
Because you can't eat if you don't have a head.
Yes, that's why. Being as sheltered as they were, the princes didn't really understand the significance of this demand. But the court immediately understood the gravity of the situation. The deed was impossible. Anyone who had sought that steed in the past had perished in the attempt. But the youngest prince was eager to have his command of the queen for his win as well. The prince was determined to accompany his brothers no matter what peril may lie ahead. But he demanded that the queen shall stand on the highest tower of the palace until they returned, or news of their death did. She could only have sheaf corn, which is like the grain and wheat of corn bundled together, not like the fourly formed vegetable, for her food and cold water for her drink, no matter how long it took them to return, even if it took 7 whole years or more. So the three princes took off to search for the Knight of the Glen's palace.
1, 2, 3, princes come before you. Go ahead now.
One of them. Never mind, I'm not going to continue. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Along the way, they met a man who was both old and a little lame, but wore a remarkable black cap.
Look at them shoes. Them's lame as hell.
Is that a Kangol? Okay, I see you. What a remarkable cat.
The youngest was the first to ask for his name, which was the Thief of Sloan, or the Black Thief, so called for his cap. For his cap.
Right.
The man shared stories of his own adventures before asking the princes what on earth they were up to. So the youngest prince relayed their life story up until that point on the road. I'm not kidding. That's what it said.
Well.
But he admitted that they weren't even sure if they were actually on the right path or not. So the black thief said,
"Ah, brave fellows. You clearly don't understand how dangerous your quest truly is. I myself have sought the steed for the last 7 years, but somehow did not mention that during all my rambling of adventures earlier, and even I can't manage this feat. The steed wears silk covering, adorned with 60 bells, see? He catches wind of any who try to approach him, see? And he shakes himself so that the bells alarm the prince and his guards, plus the entire countryside. And the Knight of the Glen tosses any would-be thief that he catches in a red-hot fiery furnace, hotter than the flames of hell."
Well, that was shitty news, since the princes would be beheaded if they returned steedless.
Ooh.
But the thief reasoned that it would be better to die by the Knight of the Glen than a wicked queen. He offered to show them the way and join whatever fate befell them. Since the thief knew the way so well, the princes were soon within view of the knight's castle. They waited for nightfall, when the knights went to sleep and left only the steed on guard duty. In the dead of the night, the party of four carefully approached the steed of bells, and they failed. Mm. Yeah, the horse caught him. He neighed.
That's what he does.
He neighed really noisily, and then he shook and rung his bells even more noisily.
I tried to tell you, see? It's what he does. It's what he does.
And then cue double failure, because before the party could escape, they were surrounded. and taken prisoner. The princess and the thief were led to a dismal part of the palace, a real supervillain-esque lair, where the Knight of the Glen kept a furnace boiling all the time in case someone needed to be thrown in.
Not because it was cold. It was cold, and the only way to keep the furnace going was with human flesh.
That's what I would think.
Okay.
That's how I keep my furnace going.
And take it away, Knight of the Glen.
Audacious villains! How dare you try and steal my steed! Here is your just reward! Instead of boiling you all together, we'll go one at a time, so those waiting must watch their companions suffer and perish. We'll start with the eldest amongst the young men first, and then the old man in the black cap will go last. Since he looks like their leader, thus it is creed, for I am the Knight of the Glen.
Yeah, I wasn't really listening, TSC, because I have escaped peril worse than that once before. And so will the prince now.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, huh?
Nuh-uh.
Yes, huh? In fact, let me tell you a story.
Sure, tell me a story then.
All right. Are you comfortable?
I mean, I could use a cup of tea.
All right, hold on one moment. If you agree, the danger that I survived was worse than this right now, will you pardon the prince?
Depends on how good the tea is, but sure, tell me the story.
Well, it all began when...
Stop.
No, look, that was the segue to...
Do it again.
Well, it all began when...
Do it one more time, I think I was talking.
Shut the fuck up, everybody. Well, it all began when...
And the black thief explained that in his youth, he was a wild boy. Oh.
He was a freak.
So, apparently, it took me some time to catch on to this. That pretty much just means he was a criminal. He was Aladdin.
He was a freak.
In Ireland.
He was a freak.
Yeah. One night in particular, with nowhere to sleep, he ignorantly invited himself to lay on the ribs in an old kiln. After some time, he spotted three witches approaching with three bags of gold. They did not notice him, but laid down and used their bags as pillows. One of the witches claimed that if the black thief found them while they slept, he wouldn't leave a single penny behind.
Why would you say that?
Because apparently, he was already infamous. Because he noted overhearing this, and he's like, oh, I guess I already made a name for myself. So, I don't know. It seems like a good way to jinx yourself.
I just assumed that you were one of the three witches right there. Sorry. Oh. Sorry.
Mm.
Yeah, the time travel. Yeah, the very witch. Confusing. Yes, I'm sorry.
He waited until the witches fell asleep, then quietly crept up, swapped their bags of gold deftly for mounds of turf instead, and made off as fast as he could.
Were they drunk while they were sleeping? Because...
No, apparently. He's just real good at the swisheroo.
I feel like a bag of gold would be loud as fuck. And you're just like, clang, 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 clang.
Not that I've stolen anything before. Right.
I mean, just from word on the street is what I hear. But, all right. I support it.
He hadn't gone far when he noticed a greyhound, a hare, and a hawk pursuing him.
I saw that one.
Jesus Christ!
OnlyFans.
He thought these animals must be the witches transformed. Since their chosen animals didn't actually seem all that formidable, he considered attacking them with his broadsword. But they
It's a sword made out of broads.
Mm.
Made out of broads, eh?
All those broads, yeah.
Not to be confused with the bear spear. It's made out of bears.
Exactly.
True.
And their porch.
Mm-hmm. But they were still witches, so they may yet have more tricks up their sleeve. So instead, the thief decided to hold off and he struggled to climb up a tree instead, like attempting to hide. In a manly way, apparently.
Yes.
Lugging his sword and the bags of gold with him.
That's why he struggled.
The witches transformed again at the tree's base. One of them turned into a smith's anvil, another into a piece of iron, and the third
into a piece of shit.
Into a humanoid again.
Oh.
In order to fashion the iron into a hatchet. The third witch...
Wait, hold on. Why didn't she just turn into a hatchet?
I don't know, which is why I was trying to speed along.
Do they have, like, Wonder Twin powers and they can only turn into certain things?
I'm guessing.
I think you can turn into, like, an item, but you can't...
Turn into a forged yourself item.
To, like, do the action of that item. Like, you... If you're a glass, you can't, like, pick yourself up.
Yeah, but and that doesn't matter. Travel. That doesn't matter. Why did she have to turn into a piece of iron and not just turn into a hatchet?
Because
that way the other one... She could
not chop a tree.
I get that, but even if she was just... Well, right now she's just a piece of iron. Now the third one has to forge her into a hatchet.
Oh, I see. You're talking about one of the other ones. Yeah, that was dumb.
Because then the third one would be left out. So she had to be in Nanville.
Why don't they just transform, like,
well, yeah,
one of them transform into, like, the, what, bandsaw? And then the other two stand on the side and, like, shh, shh, shh.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
they don't work well together Maybe in that stupid. Way.
Apparently not. Apparently they don't, because one turned into a fox, one turned into right. a hawk, one turned into a centipede.
Let's, I mean, do, so it's let's not, do some shit we don't have to do, animals. Okay? Form Look, of human centipede, go.
I gotta.
How does this help us? I don't know.
I gotta help tell us. You.
Who wants to help?
I was reading this and I was also very upset that they went through inanimate transformations and one of the women had to be.
Shape of a human centipede!
Forged into something else to be used, which I would imagine would be painful.
Right. It's shape of a human centipede! And then you hear, help us, and then, help us, I'm having a blast. Okay.
Fine, we'll transform into something useful, fine.
I'm so surprised you didn't
But you two owe me.
Baby elephant walk instead.
Form of a baby elephant walk. All right. We'll transform into something useful. Shape of a baby elephant walk.
Shape of a clam slam. Come on, y'all.
As I was saying, one witch turned into a smith's anvil, another into a piece of iron, and the third was humanoid again in order to fashion the iron into a hatchet.
Fucking wasteful.
The third witch...
So two of them are just getting pounded and not in a good way.
Right.
Absolutely.
Here, slam her head into my head. We'll just have migraines like, for like weeks.
Yeah, they're like the Three
and
Stooges.
And you just be a human.
They're like the three... Oh, no, it's like okay. the Three Stooges. They're just like, oh, I got an idea. You turn into an anvil. You turn into a piece of iron. And I'll fashion you into a hatchet. And they're like, okay. Yeah. It's a good idea.
Couldn't we just do, like, some kind of magic to make the tree fall down, if that's what we're going for? No.
Stupid.
Like, that's like in the Hunger Games movie, when Katniss is up in the fucking tree, and they're like, they shoot one arrow at her, and then they're like, we missed! And they're like, hell yeah,
she's gotta come down sometime.
I was sitting there. I was sitting there thinking... Oh, hell yeah, they're about to burn the fucking tree down. No, they're like, she's got to come down sometime. So your plan is to just sit right underneath that tree and wait.
Nobody else is like, I could probably climb that and go get her.
Right.
No, just, she'll get tired. While we wait, form over humans. I'm
Poor
sorry.
PETA, I joined the wrong group. I joined the wrong group. Or worse, I joined the right group.
These are my people.
The third witch used the hatchet to begin chopping down the tree. After an hour, it began to shake with the thief still high in it.
So first she had to forge the hatchet. Mm-hmm. Then it took her an hour to chop the tree down.
While she was laughing because she knew it wasn't her face being slammed into a tree. Yeah.
Then the tree began to bend. The thief figured one or two blows more and the tree would fall. And even if he survived that, the witch is capable of all of this would surely kill him after. Yet, just as the witch drew her arms back for a final swing, a rooster crowed with the breaking dawn. It was still a little drunk from the night before. Hearing this and fearing discovery, the witches transformed back into their animal forms and fled.
Form of a human centipede, y'all. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, because there's something really strange about three people being in the woods.
Hey, what are y'all doing?
Right?
It's daylight.
Yeah, right?
They gotta be witches. They gotta be witches.
And they fled, leaving the thief with his stolen bounty safe and sound.
See, that's not weird. Somebody sitting in a tree all night, but three people being in the woods is strange.
How big are these bags of gold that you can sit up in a tree all night with three bags of gold? Just
and a sword.
No, and a sword. And maintain your balance to not fall as this tree is bending also, and bowing.
He said broadsword, but I imagined, like, full cloud strife.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, yeah.
I don't understand how that man climbs ladders in that game without cutting up his legs.
Severing his spine.
Anyway, we are back to scripts. So that finishes the Black Thief's first story.
Excuse me?
All right. I'll admit, that was a damn good story. And as close a call to death as I've ever heard. I'll pardon the eldest youth, and get ready to boil the second one instead.
Nah, I don't think he'll die either, see?
Come now, it's impossible for him to escape.
Now you think so, but I have escaped death more wonderfully than all of this, see? And if I prove it again, will you spare him as well?
Ooh, another story. Goody. Let's have it then.
The Black Thief reminded the Knight of the Glen that, as he said before, he used to live quite recklessly. He found himself strapped for cash, and no available job suited his fancy.
Only fans.
So he was lazy.
Got it.
However, a rich bishop happened to pass away in the neighborhood he was frequenting at the time. And that bishop was rumored to have been buried with a great deal of fine jewels and clothing. The thief decided this would be his next mark. The thief learned that the bishop was interred at the end of a long and dark burial vault. Burial vault?
Ooh, words are hard.
Vault.
Beruvian vault.
Beruvial.
Beruvial vault.
Mm-hmm.
He entered cautiously, but hadn't gotten far before he heard footsteps approaching quickly.
Blam, 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 blam.
Given the morbid nature of his current crime and the possibility of an angry ghost, the thief lost his nerve and turned to flee.
Where'd I put those nerves?
But a tall, dark figure blocked the vault's entrance. The thief panicked and fired his pistol at the man, who immediately collapsed. So, not a ghost then.
They were ghost bullets.
No, it's not a ghost.
It was ghost bullets.
Werewolf. Silver bullets. Got it.
Well, since there was no ghost, only a dead man, the thief recovered his courage and went back to his original plan. But when he found the bishop's corpse, the riches that he sought had already been pilfered.
Wait, what about the body that he just...
He left it there.
Oh.
They were gathered all together in a bundle off to the side. It seemed that the thief had shot one of the bishop's own clergymen.
Yeah.
And he felt a bit sorry about it, but also thought that It couldn't really be helped.
Tragic.
Even though, you know, it could have.
It could have.
You could have just not robbed a corpse.
That's what we would have done.
That's not how RPGs work.
Though, presumably.
Give me that loot. Give me that loot.
Since all the riches had already been bundled up and the clergyman is the only other person alive, I would assume that the clergyman he shot was also robbing the bishop. It didn't say that. I just assumed.
And what that does.
Donkey party!
I thought she was going to say donkey punch. Same thing.
Same thing. I agree.
Yeah.
It's a party where you punch donkey.
Form of a donkey punch.
It's a fist that only works on donkeys. It won't hurt you if you're not one.
Plus 10 damage to donkeys. Mm.
Zero damage to anything else. The thief grabbed up the bundle of riches and he moved to leave, for real this time. But at the entrance, he caught sight of a group of guards making their way toward the vault. He overheard them declaring that they must check on the bishop's internment. Because if the infamous black thief was around, he surely wouldn't hesitate to rob a holy corpse. The thief knew that he would be shot the very second a guard caught sight of him. With very little for means of disguise handy, the thief propped up the body.
Disguised handy. Hey, shh, don't let them know.
Shut up.
The thief didn't have a lot on him to work as a disguise. So, hey,
let's not shame him. I'm sure it was adequate, whatever he...
The thief propped up the body of the clergyman he had killed so that he was standing once more on both feet. Nicely. The thief crouched behind that body best he could, also keeping it as steady as possible.
I just picture behind him, and then he like puts his hand around his mouth, and like, and then the dead body is sitting there, and he just puts it, and he's like, everything's up behind me, God. My legs are tired, and I needed a break.
That's where I thought it was going, but hold that thought. A guard spotted the body's black garb and cried out, "It's the black thief!
It's the thief!"
Pulling out his gun and firing immediately.
No questions, only shots.
When those bullets hit the corpse, the black thief let the corpse fall as if it's this guy's fault that it's dead now. And then he slipped back into a dark corner near the front of the vault instead.
He's smart.
The guards charged forward, and they kept going, like, all the way to the back of the vault.
Let's get them, girls.
Searching for accomplices.
It was a progressive time back then.
The thief used this opportunity to slip away, all but out of their reach, even as they returned to examine the body. So he got away again.
Story time?
Oh.
Ha ha ha! God damn! You silver-tongued, sexy son of a bitch! You delivered again? My brave fellow! I will not comment on your moral depravity at all. You have won the freedom of two princes! Won two princes nil before you! With your stories, that was misplaced! But that yet leaves the youngest prince to suffer. I pity him, though. I would rather avoid his death if I can help it. Do you have another wonderful story, perhaps a tale, so that I might spare him as well, because I have to kill him otherwise? That I'm a man of my word.
Yeah, see, he's my favorite, too. But worry not, you sexy-ass son of a bitch. I've saved the most marvelous feat for last. As I often do.
So the black thief began to share another daring adventure. This time, he had found himself lost in a large forest. He had been wandering about without relief for quite a while before he happened upon a castle.
Haven't we all?
Exhausted as he was, he found his way inside to rest. There, The thief found a young woman crying with a child sitting on her knee. Joy. He noticed no one else was around, not even a single servant. The thief asked the woman why she was so upset, as well as where the lord of the castle might be. The woman answered that he was lucky no one else was around. The lord of the castle was a cyclops who dined only on human flesh. He brought the woman the child earlier and ordered her to bake it into a pie, and she was so overwhelmed, understandably, by the monstrous demand that she couldn't help but cry. The thief asked if there was anywhere he could whisk the child to safety to save it from such a grisly fate, and the woman described a house a good distance away wherein lived a lady who could care for the babe. But that still left the matter of the pie unresolved. The thief instructed the young woman to remove a single finger from the child's hand.
Nice.
He would fetch her a young wild pig from the forest meanwhile, and that she could dress as a child and hide the real human finger on, so that if the giant was suspicious, it would serve as proof that she had indeed served him human pie.
I'm with it.
The child was saved and the pig pie prepared. The thief hung around and invited himself to a hearty meal for his troubles. But as he prepared to leave, the two observed the giant returning through the castle gates. The woman hurried the thief to a room of dead bodies. She ordered him to strip down.
Why does he have a room of dead bodies?
Right. Because he's a giant who eats human flesh for funsies. Mm. She ordered the thief to strip down and lay amongst the corpses in the nude.
Yeah, see?
So the giant wouldn't notice anything different about him in comparison to the other bodies.
Joke's on you, see?
Form of a human centipede.
Form of a lifeless corpse.
Oh, that's unfortunate. The thief did as he was told, staying alert to further observe the giant and his behavior. The first thing he heard was the monster calling for pie.
Meatloaf! Ma! Meatloaf!
The young woman brought it out dutifully, and when the giant declared it smelled of swine, she produced the dismembered finger to prove otherwise.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, this smells of the policeman.
Oh, dear.
He said swine.
I did.
See what he did there?
I did. That's why I said, oh, dear.
Mm. Not, oh, what?
But, oh, dear.
Oh. What?
The pie only increased.
That's what I get. That's what I get.
Respect the blue line.
The pie only increased the giant's appetite, however. The thief could hear the sharpening of a great knife while the giant declared that he could have another snack or two as he was not nearly satisfied yet. Terror flooded through the thief as the giant began groping amongst his pile of bodies, deciding he fancied the thief and cutting half his hip off to roast. The thief held his tongue through unimaginable pain. Any peep could bring with it the certainty of death. The giant then drank massive amounts of hot liquor. He was so wasted by the end that he couldn't even hold his head up anymore. So the monster threw himself onto a makeshift bed and instantly fell asleep. Only when the giant began to snore did the thief dare move. The young woman dressed his wound, and the thief took up the giant's fire spit, reddened one end in the heat of the flames, and ran it through the monster's eye. This did not kill him.
Right. I was like, that's stupid, kind of. Like, I mean, I guess he can't see you, but...
He got a chunk of his hip taken off and eaten. I think he's just mad right now. I don't think he's thinking straight.
Well, I get the strategy. He's a cyclops. You want to take away his sight so he can't find you, but just kill him.
Maybe he thought he'd get the spit in deep enough to hit brain and forgot Cyclops don't have one. I don't know.
I'm with it.
Sorry. That was a discriminatory statement.
Right.
All I have Cyclops, a cousin who's a Cyclops, intelligences matter.
And you owe her an apology.
Okay.
Unreal. It's 2024.
Zeus is judging me right now.
Duck. Duck. Judging you harshly.
I'd rather that. I'd rather that than the alternative. Than the alternative. Thank you.
That's fine. Judge me harshly. Yes.
Leaving the spit sticking out of the giant's head, the thief took off. The blinded giant ran after him in pursuit, throwing an enchanted ring toward the sound of the fleeing human.
One ring to rule them all.
It landed on the thief's big toe and held him in place.
Oh, shit.
Yep. The giant called the ring, like called out to it, to guide him to the thief. And to the human's great surprise, the ring answered.
Hey, I'm over here, folks.
The maimed giant leapt toward the sound, and the thief just narrowly ducked in time to avoid the danger.
He ducked. You missed him, dog.
Duck, duck you, son.
I still got him, though. His toe in here.
Seeing as he couldn't run with that pesky magical ring stuck to him, the thief pulled out his sword and lopped off his own big toe. So maimed twice today. He took the toe and the ring and tossed them into a nearby pond for good measure. The giant, unaware of what had passed, called for his enchanted ring once more. When the ring answered, the giant dove for what he was sure was the thief, going head and ears first into the pond instead.
Sploosh.
And that's where the giant found his demise, drowning in a pond with nothing but a human toe to keep him company. So the thief declared that he narrowly escaped death in another fantastical feat, though this time he
was... Fantastical?
Yeah.
Fantastical.
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 You said fantastical.
A fantastical.
Oh. You're right. Well, so one of our listeners sent in a testicle.
Fantastical feat. Goddamn Freudian. Though this time he was made lame in the process.
Damn.
An old woman stepped forward at this last tale.
You'd declaring, be lame too if you lost a testicle too. Ba 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 da ba. Highway to no testicles.
An old woman stepped forward at the last tale, declaring that it was true.
True.
She was the once young woman held prisoner in the giant's castle, and he, the knight of the glen, the very same child she had been ordered to make into pie. That made the black thief the man who saved the knight's life, as evidenced by his own missing finger, a sacrifice necessary to deceive a monster. And the knight of the glen said,
Janie Mac, my brave fellow, not only do I pardon you all, but I insist you stay here, so you shall feast like the princess you are and enjoy every comfort in my castle. I made them out of crusty pillows.
Just so you guys know, I'll try. Janie Mac is like an Irish, like...
I assumed.
Yeah, so it's like saying Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed.
But it said in the website I found, but your grandma won't hit you over the head if you say this one.
Mine would.
So it's like saying freaking instead of fucking.
My grandma would slap me across my mouth.
But after thanking the knight, the black thief explained the prince's plight and that they must return home to complete their quest. So the knight of the glen gifted them his steed of bells, but with a promise that they would return and visit him often. This was a promise easily made, and the party of four set off with great joy. While all these events took place, and grand stories were told, the queen had been standing atop the highest tower all the while.
The dead one?
The live one.
Well, so I'm the weird one because there's witches and magic and giants, and I'm the weird one because I think the dead queen.
Just the dead queen's up there. Don't you forget about me.
Seems like you did pretty quickly. So, no, it's the live one because the youngest prince, because he won the card game, commanded that she stand on top of the highest tower and eat shitty wheat and only drink cold water. At least it was cold water.
Cold water, yeah. No, please don't make me drink cold water.
Maybe that is a punishment in Great Britain where everything's lukewarm. Yeah. The queen heard the fabled steed's bells ringing from a great distance off.
Ring, ding, dong. Ring, ding, 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 dong. How in the fuck was that, like...
I don't know how like you got that, but...
That was not even planned.
At all. But I'm glad we were on the same wavelength there.
Yet when I give you something to say together and it's only three words and you have time to practice, you still can't do it.
See, that's where you fuck up. Don't give us that time to practice.
By trying, that's where you fuck up.
Just be like, hey, I need you guys to think of this. Did you get it?
And you're both sitting there like, now. The witch is telling us to think again. Do you know what that means?
We'll figure it out. But you give us a script and like a countdown of like 1, 2, 3, and we're going to start at some different times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I have one paragraph left. So she heard the bells and knew at once that the princes had succeeded. In a final fit of spite and vexation, the queen leapt from the tower and shattered against the ground.
Fuck my life!
Ah! Yeah, pretty much.
I believe I can fly.
The three princes and their new best friend, the Black Thief, lived happily and well throughout their father's reign. And it is unfortunate that for now and forevermore, they can say, I have a black friend, though.
Well, his cap is black.
Yeah, no, you're the one that said that.
Yeah, we were corrected.
Because it'd be funny.
They're like, no, we could say that. We have a black friend. And they're like, excuse me, his hat is black?
Right.
So I'm going to try that again because my next line goes with it. It's
the human centipede, oh.
And the three princes and their new best friend, the Black Thief, lived happily and well throughout their father's reign. How they fared after their father died is not known. Mm. Nothing in life is promised, friends, especially not a happy ending. And don't you forget it.
When you go to the massage parlor.
# Irish morals.
Mm. Gotta love them.
That's it. That's all I got.
Hooray for the drunkards.
What did you guys learn today?
Well, Cletus, what do you got?
Nothing. I don't learn things.
You project things.
I don't learn things because learning is for nerds that go to school.
Learning is for suckers.
Learning's for nerds that go to school, and I'm not a nerd.
He's too cool for school.
It's unfortunate that you missed the opportunity to say learning is for witches.
But witches already know everything.
Hmm. Got you there.
That's how they do magic.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that one.
I wouldn't either.
What do you got?
They know everything except for how to turn themselves into a hatchet. Instead, they have to turn into a piece of metal and be fashioned into a hatchet.
Which you're very upset about.
Well, it's... Well, that is the logic of a woman completely absent. What did you learn, Miles Davis?
Miles... What do you get? Well, I learned that witches don't make sense. I also learned don't trust them horses with bells on them because they be snitches. I also learned hen wives can be sassy. And people think that if you wear one black article of clothing that you have a black friend. And that's all I'm taking away from this episode.
I waited the entire time for someone to point out snitches get stitches because of that fucking horse with his belt.
That horse was a fucking snitch. I am satisfied.
That's all I wanted.
Just waiting around in a field like, here goes somebody. Just
amplified times 60.
Yeah, fuck that horse. Waking people up like they're trying to sleep at night. He just, like, no.
Except bougie. Someone's trying to steal me again.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
Well, I learned that it is acceptable to punish attempted thievery by throwing people into a furnace that you keep forever lit in your home.
You have two of those, don't you?
No. We're not zoned for that.
That's why Kevin McAllister was afraid of the basement.
Mm.
The family kept throwing the youngest child in the furnace, and he was going to be next. That's why he stayed behind, so he could defeat the furnace.
That's why I left home when I was young, yeah.
It's a shame. I was the youngest child. They weren't also zoned for a bear porch, because then he wouldn't have had to do as much work
in
the beginning.
That's very true.
That's true.
Yep. He probably would have done skip that house.
No truer facts.
That's very true. Yep.
Didn't no bitches have their titties out in this story?
No.
But we did reference Twin Peaks, so I'm happy.
But only one person Sponsor died, us. And they were wicked, so that was a nice switch.
Can we get Twin
Somebody
Peaks to
died?
Sponsor us?
Probably
Who died?
Not.
No, the queen died.
The old
I
bitch.
I said wicked.
The old bitch.
The first queen
who died.
Yeah, but that's different.
And then
like,
the giant. The giant
then,
died, too.
And then the other queen threw herself off the cliff and crashed upon the rocks.
So that's three right there.
Yeah. And they say men don't pay attention.
Flashbacks don't count.
See, even you forgot about the first queen.
Mm. Yeah, I did. By the end.
She even sang you a song asking you, imploring you not to forget about her.
Right.
A song that you even sing.
Asking again. Don't forget about me.
Right? Don't hey, you. Y'all, just popping in. Trying to remind you. Don't forget about me. Like you already did. Fuck all you fucks. Yeah. She was mad.
Well...
Bye.
You guys made such a good effort
we did.
To be like, no, don't pat yourself on the back just
Too
yet.
Late.
To be on brand and be like, talk is cheap boobage, spit facts the truth. See you next time. And now it's just Cletus going, bye! Like, really suddenly.
They know what we're
There's
about.
There's no...
You know, it's still genuine.
Yeah, I mean, what you do you still, want me to do?
Right.
You're I not... genuinely want them to fuck off, and I'd like to go home.
You know how long it would take to go around and give every viewer and listener a quick handy before we sign off?
Like, that's not what I'm asking
that's
for.
That's basically what you're asking
I,
for.
I just do a lot of sweet. Work, and I'm asking you to deliver the bare minimum.
With
and
a
you're
handy
over there
the
like,
end, like,
whatever, I'm taking a nap and eating some Cheerios. I'm done.
Yeah, it's like dragons drink bourbon and we spit facts and we say the truth and we spit the truth. And if you love us, I glug, 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 and we just.
So I was fucking asking for some professionalism.
So long,
Wait,
listeners.
Where's our song to sing to? Everybody sing along. Here we go. Keep this. Turn up that snare. The baby's been drunk and the dragons are slain. We'll miss you the next week.
unless we take an unannounced hiatus last time.
Are we still walking down the road? Okay. Who got that tambourine?
Original music by Maria Vincent and art by Something by LP. You can follow these fine American idiots on Instagram and Facebook at ddb.podcast. You can also email them at dragonsdrinkbourbon@gmail.com.
Everyone can laugh now.
That was going to be my punchline. I was pausing for dramatic effect. And Mr. McMahon, please.
Had cat pee in it.
That's how I serve all water here.
Yes.
Whiskey. Burns going down, burns coming back up.
If you drink it right, it shouldn't come back up.
Well, when you are drinking and someone makes you laugh.